news and views from a Knott Street perspective. This is Knott Street Cast. Hey, Becca, how you doing today?
Hey, Joe. I'm all right. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Hey, at least we're not flooding.
Right? Yeah, I saw what happened downtown, man.
Downtown Pittsburgh, for all our listeners out there.
Yeah.
Our viewers, yeah, listening to this podcast.
I saw a picture and there were ducks swimming on the highway.
Oh, good Lord. Was this in the what they call the bathtub area of the Parkway East?
Yeah, that there's whole area.
There's a part in Pittsburgh, which is it's downtown Pittsburgh headed out, like it's headed right towards the Fort Pitt tunnels.
Yeah, that's where I saw. Yeah.
There's a very low area there. I'm explaining this for our listeners who are not familiar with Pittsburgh's topography. There's a very low area that's kind of by the river. And every time that it floods in Pittsburgh, which is once every 10 years, I think.
Yeah, the last time that flooded down there, I think, was 2018.
It was like a minor flooding at that point. This is major.
This is major flooding. This is going to be shut down for several days.
This area is called the bathtub, and because it fills up with water.
Yeah, there's a parking lot that's like down under the highway there for some of the commuters. And like if you park down there and the river floods, like your car is
bye-bye car.
It's toast.
Car be floating down the river. Yeah, and that's not good.
Oh, God. I think of my little car. Like when I lived in Illinois, like it flooded there a lot. You know, it's flatlands. And like if your car was too low, we had an SUV at the time, but if your car's too low, you're not getting through it.
One time I lived not too far away from where you live at now in Overbrook on Todd Street.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And the house me and my ex had there at one point there, basically it was on a hill, as you know, streets on a hill.
Yeah.
It was more towards the bottom of the hill, about 3/4 of the way down.
Okay.
Basically, when Ivan came through, Hurricane Ivan, the remains of that came through, and it hit the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania area. It rained a lot, you know, like to the point where things flooded. You know, I think that's like the last time we had like a major like flood here in Pittsburgh, and our basement managed to get an inch and a half of water in it.
That's horrible.
Cause I came home from work and our driveway kind of like slanted down and went into the garage, and obviously the garage part's flat, and I could see that there was like water puddled up between the part where it became flat. It was like there was supposed to be a drain there, but that drain had just not been able to keep up, and thus in that case it was flooded. I'm like, oh, this is not good.
And Pittsburgh houses aren't equipped with sump pumps like there are in like other places. Like in Illinois, you have to have a sump pump because otherwise, like everything floods. Like your basement will always flood.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah, I actually lived in a place in Pittsburgh that had a sump pump because it was also on a hill there too.
Okay.
And we heard that thing run every once in a while, but I mean, it wasn't too often there, but yeah. I mean, I'm surprised more of them don't. I mean, I think there's
the whole entire
Pittsburgh potty.
Yeah. I know there's a toilet there, but no sump pump.
Yeah. So you can flush your turds down the toilet, but you know, can't fix that flood. So you can fix number two, but you can't fix number one.
Yeah. Right?
But anyways, how was your Easter?
It was uneventful. Sue came down for the weekend. We went out to dinner, and by Saturday night, I was starting to not feel so well. You can probably still hear in my voice that, you know, I've been kind of under the weather. I got some kind of nasty bug.
It's surprising. I've not gotten sick. Actually, no, I got sick once since COVID was the thing back in 2020.
Yeah.
And it was the minor head cold for a few days, and that was it. I don't know whether we're wearing the mask or whatnot.
Yeah. You know? Well, you work from home too, so you don't have to see a lot of people.
True. Very
like
true.
That's definitely helpful because I didn't catch COVID until I was back in an office.
I never had COVID. I'm the only person I know now who's never had COVID.
Oh, it's nasty. This was actually worse, though. Whatever this was over this past several days, it was worse than what I felt like with COVID.
Well, you're on the mend though, right?
Yeah, I am. I'm still really run down and I still have a cough. So I apologize if,
No,
you
don't be
know,
apologetic. Get
I.
better, seriously. And I'm glad you're starting to get on the mend, basically.
Yeah, I am. I don't feel like I'm at death's door anymore.
Oh,
You know
good Lord.
that when you get so sick that that's all you can think about, like you can't even watch television. It's just miserable. But yeah.
Exactly.
Aside from that, yeah, Easter was kind of nice, you know. It was nice
Yeah,
to
mine
spend
was
time with
just
my girls.
dinner with my extended family at Olive Garden. And then we went back to my grandmother's house for dessert. And like I mentioned before, my grandmother is really old and
That's
still alive and still kicking and,
amazing.
still up and at them there. 103.
That's
Wow.
amazing.
So I know. Yeah, it's just, I mean, my parents are in their 70s, and most people I know whose parents are in their 70s are dying.
Right.
But my
Yeah.
parents are thriving, you know?
Yeah. My dad, I think, was, I don't know, 77 when he died, maybe. I'm not sure exactly, but my mom was 73 and she died last September. So.
And they're all in great health and everything there. But I'm like, what genetic lottery did I lose with this
Yeah,
family? You know? Somebody had to have all the problems, and apparently it's me. I don't know. But I don't
yeah.
want to talk about those there because it's kind of like, you know. I'm not gonna whine. I mean, I'm generally healthy for the most part. I
Yeah.
have my problems,
Oh, sure.
but it's nothing
Medications.
that's gonna kill me, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, one of the big news here is in regards there with the whole entire not straight cast, straight rolled, you know, stiff is not straight radio. And
It's very cool.
something really cool we did here is that, as you probably know, we have a radio station and you can listen to it on your computer. You can listen to it on your phone. It's a shoutcast station.
Okay.
But what's really cool now is that this, and I'll play you, there's two ads here and I'll play you the first one and I'll play you the second one shortly or thereafter. But this is
Okay.
the first ad. Did you know that Not Straight Radio is now available on your smart speaker? Just tell Alexa, play Not Straight Radio.
Really? You want to listen to that crap?
Not Straight Radio, now available on your smart speaker. I figured, hey, Alexa can be salty, but you know, she gets even saltier in this one. Did you know that Not Straight Radio is now available on your smart speaker? Just tell Alexa, play Not Straight Radio.
Really? Not Straight Radio? Go F yourself.
Not Straight Radio. Now available on your smart speaker. I figured you'd like those there, yeah. But yeah, basically all you have to do here, and I'll hold my Alexa Echo Show right next to the microphone here, is just simply say, Alexa, play Not Straight Radio.
Playing Not Straight Radio.
You're listening to 24/7 LGBTQ Talk Radio. This is Not Straight Radio.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, I turned it on when you told me
There we
about it
are.
the other day. Yeah, it's very cool.
And if you have a hold on, let me stop this here. Alexa, stop. And let me turn the microphone off here so I don't
Mine just
inadvertently.
lit up.
Right? Yeah. I'm afraid though, it's kind of like, yeah, we're gonna light up everybody's Alexa's. But, you know, I was kind of worried when I did those ads that I was going to cause my Alexa to go off. It doesn't go off.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm surprised it doesn't.
Yeah, it like registers pretty much everything else.
Right. Yeah. Of course, sometimes when I need it to do something, it doesn't register it at all.
Yeah.
And then the
I'm
other day,
sorry, I
though,
don't know that.
yeah, right. And I also noticed is that I had to say not straight radio. If I say not straight radio, just you know, slur it all together,
Yeah,
it
she
usually
misses
doesn't
it.
find the right station.
Oh.
So I actually had to talk correctly.
Enunciate.
Right? Exactly. So Another thing is here too, is that the last time we did this show here, we were talking about Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah. Yeah. I had my little get together. It was fun.
It was good, except I didn't have any good cards, you know?
Yeah. You were getting like kind of the shaft deal that night.
To the point where I traded in all my cards and I was still getting crappy cards in the case. And I was like, here, to your one friend, I was like, here, have my cards. I'll take your cards. I was like, hey, you have some good cards, don't you?
Yeah, it was a good night.
Yeah, and I have cards like, you know, answers like the Emancipation Proclamation, you know, is like the card that I would have there. And, you know, what good is that in Cards Against Humanity?
Right. The point is to be offensive.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, you know, I'm bringing up history, you know.
Well, my one friend, the one that was sitting like to the left of you, she drank an entire bottle of wine.
Oh, no.
And I made her spend the night. So my night never ended.
Oh, okay. I was going to worry about that because I was like one of the last people to leave.
Yeah.
And she was still there.
Yeah. I wasn't letting her drive home. She was completely trashed. Like, mm-hmm. Like that's what I was trying to avoid is people doing that. Like, it's good having, you know, parties when you're older because people don't leave your house completely trashed and, you know, and they bring stuff. And,
unless you drink a whole entire bottle of wine.
She brought the wine and just freaking downed it, man. I don't think I think I had like a half a beer that night.
It's like the meme there where there's the guy who gets the medal and then he's like shooting the bottle of champagne and biting on the medal. And it's like, he's at the bottom of the rung.
Yeah.
Of all the winners, you know, it's kind of like, woohoo.
Yeah. I don't know what got into her that night. She doesn't usually do stuff like that, but she was so freaking hungover. Mm-hmm. On Sunday morning. Oh, man. And she lives with her mom, who is kind of one of those covert narcissist people. Mm-hmm. And so she was torturing her the whole night and in the morning. And like,
so she just needed to just kind of like, you know, she just needed to let loose. Unplug
for a while. Yeah. And her sister, I guess, was in town. And her sister is, for lack of a better word, an asshole.
And so like, she was getting it from all ends, basically.
Yeah. So she had just had like a really big fight with the two of them over to the dog before she came to the party. So, yeah, she came out. And plus, she did like a couple shots of coconut rum.
Oh, OK. Even before she got there?
No. When she first got here. Yeah.
OK. Oh, God.
Yeah, because she was one of the first people to get here, like you two were. And like she brought a bunch of alcohol.
And yeah, because I wasn't the first person there because I stopped at the grocery store beforehand.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It was Joel was the first one that got here then.
Okay. Yeah. And everybody's bringing cupcakes and I brought a veggie tray.
We had so many cookies. I took them all to work.
Oh, good Lord. Cookies were good. I tell you what.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if everybody else was going to bring unhealthy shit, I would have brought stuff, you know, that was unhealthy too. Oh, good Lord. But still, it's
the peeps. A plate of peeps.
You didn't have those, shockingly.
I did not.
Did you have those over Easter, though?
I did. Okay. Yes. Sue actually got me some presents, which I was surprised about because I never get presents for Easter. And I felt like a tool because I didn't get her anything. But listen to what got me. She did get me peeps. And she got me some other stuff, but she got me Operation. Do you remember that game, Operation?
Oh, yes.
I was so excited. We put it together and like played a game, and
be
it was like
playing. Childhood. I have to take out the wishbone.
It's just as startling as like baby's first anxiety attack. That game perfection. But she got me that, and what else?
That's cool.
Yeah. Awesome. And she got me a Nerf dart gun, and she got one for herself too. So we played war like kids, and it was fun.
Oh yeah, she knows where it's at then.
Yeah, toys.
Fun times. Also, too, before we get into the news here after the break and everything there, there's some little bit of like media news, I guess, you know, I don't want to be too inside baseball here, but basically I'm holding up to Becca here right now on the webcam that we use to look each other at an issue of Out Magazine. And so I got this in the mail about a week ago. And I was like, oh, look, an issue of Out Magazine. But then I flipped it over and it's The Advocate. And I'm like, what the heck here? So basically, if you like flip it over, you know, this is on the short end, you flip it over, you know, so you turn it upside down. You would think you're looking at the back of the magazine. No, you're looking at the right upside of The Advocate. And looking at there, so if you look at The Advocate, it's all good. But if you look at Out, it's all good too. So I'm thinking literally these combined.
Yeah, they did. It looks like, yeah.
So apparently they did, you know, of course they didn't really use the words, hey, we combine forces. They're just like, now with your, you know, subscription Out, you get The Advocate every other month, which is, it's now a bi-monthly magazine. I'm like, God, these guys are dying, aren't they?
I wonder if they like combined it for good or if that's just like a advertisement, like a one-off thing that they did to be like,
no,
hey,
it's
going to
be like that every month going forward, apparently.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I was kind of like, well, 1 year is $9.99. But it's only 6 issues in 1 year.
Okay.
Because it's bi-monthly now. So the fact that the magazines aren't monthly anymore, and then they went to bi-monthly, and now they're in the same magazine. I'm like, yeah, this is, they're dying. Basically, that's what happened here.
That's probably really what it is. Yeah. Like physical copies of things are, you know, they're slowly becoming a part of history with like the internet. And I mean, you have so much access to everything online. Like
the problem is with magazines now is that they're not timely because you can go online and read this news and everything there.
Right.
Before
right,
you'd
right.
read it in the magazine, but now it's kind of like, I mean, if they do like feature stories and stuff that I can't find online, then yeah, it would be worth subscribing to, but I'm kind of really questioning whether I should renew my subscription to Out.
Right.
It's because I'll be honest, I haven't read a lot of the issues that I've actually gotten.
Yeah.
Because when I have
like
tried
you said,
to read
you could find most of it online.
Yeah, when I have to try to read them, it's kind of like they're a little bit out of date, you know? It's just frustrating as all get out. And we're going to take a break, and coming up next, we're going to discuss the New York Times not acknowledging transgender people as Not Straightcast continues after these messages. Vacaya is a fresh approach to LGBT plus travel, one focused entirely on LGBT plus guests and creating memorable bespoke experiences built around amazing destinations, stellar entertainment, world-class hospitality, and endless fun. Vacaya's full ship and full resort vacations are built for the entire LGBTQIAPK community, so guests can have the freedom to express their individuality, make personal connections, celebrate life, rev up, or simply relax together. So if someone believes that love is love, then they belong on a Vacaya vacation. Fuel your Vacaya dreams with their e-newsletter or book a vacation by visiting nsc.lgbt/vacaya. That's nsc.lgbt/VACAYA. If ensuring speed and security for your websites is a top priority for you, then search no further than Vox Onyx's shared website hosting plans. Vox Onyx uses SSD-powered servers and provides numerous site acceleration tools that will make your websites load noticeably faster. Additionally, Vox Onyx has deployed ZFS data storage to shield your website contents from corruption. Also, Vox Onyx will manage the task of migrating all the websites you need to their system at no cost to you. Get started with a free 30-day trial. You don't even need a credit card. At voxonyx.com. That's VOXONX.com. Afterwards, it's only $4.42 per month. Visit voxonyx.com to get started now. And now it's time for the news. And before we get started with the news here, Becca, I was just looking at the stories that we're going to be covering this week, and God, we got a frustrating show here, don't we? So here's the first story. In a report published recently, Media Matters and GLAAD revealed that the New York Times failed to get comment from transgender people in 66% of its stories regarding anti-transgender legislation, pointing to a lack of transgender voices in stories about topics that directly involve transgender people. Good Lord. Seriously. Isn't that like the tenet of like journalism right there? Right?
You think?
The comments from both sides? Yeah. But anyways, going on with the story here, the report further detailed that 18% of its stories on anti-trans legislation, the New York Times presented anti-trans misinformation without clarifying the facts.
Of course they did.
Such as during an instance when the news website quoted Florida Governor Ron DeSantis that gender-affirming care is equivalent to sex change operations, something that Media Matters pointed out is highly misleading. The paper of record has an obligation to present its readers with the full human toll of anti-trans legislative assault, said Ari Drennan, LGBTQ program director of Media Matters and co-writer of the Media Matters press release. Trans people are more than theoretical curiosities to be debated from afar. Each and every anti-trans bill affects living, breathing people whose voices deserve to be heard and whose stories deserve to be told. It further found that six instances where sources used for the article had their anti-trans background obscured or hidden. An example given for this is when news site quoted Dr. Gazy Poza Christie and failed to give notice that she is associated with the Catholic Association, a conservative Christian organization, as well as given in a platform to detransitioner Chloe Cole. Cole is a prominent anti-trans activist who has traveled throughout the country to testify in favor of anti-trans laws, such as when she testified in favor of Kansas's State Bill 233, a gender-affirming care ban. This report comes after backlash against the New York Times for allegations of platforming anti-trans voices and for harmful news coverage of transgender issues. GLAAD, alongside over 150 other organizations and leaders, signed an open letter from the New York Times to change course in how they cover transgender issues. Signatories included actress Jamila Jamil, advocate Alexandra Carabello, WPATH, in the Human Rights Campaign. A separate open letter signed by hundreds of contributors to the New York Times also critiqued their coverage of transgender issues. There has been no indication that the New York Times changed its internal reporting policies after the release of either of these open letters. Researchers for the report searched throughout every New York Times story from February 15, 2023 to February 15, 2024 to try and find articles that discuss transgender issues as a main topic. They explicitly only included news articles and did not include things like letters to the editor or op-eds. The New York Times did not quote any transgender people in a majority of their articles about anti-trans legislation in the past year, GLAAD President and CEO Sarah Kate Ellis said in an organizational press release. The New York Times failed that basic reporting lesson 101 and replaced it with a pattern of hiding sources, anti-trans affiliations, and allowing their misinformation to go unchecked. I mean, it's just like, come on, you know?
Whatever happened to ethics in journalism? Like, how did we get here to the point where misinformation is, like our news is nothing but propaganda anymore?
It's also just headlines, too. If, like, you watch the news,
yeah,
those stories aren't very long, you know?
No. And it's all a bunch of garbage. And nobody is holding anybody accountable. Well, I mean, except for Dominion holding Fox accountable for, you know, defamation. But like just in general, there is so much misinformation going around, especially about the trans community. And it's just left unchecked. It's not, there's no accountability for the untruths that, you know, they're putting out there. And the thing about like Americans in particular is Americans, you know, our education system is not the best.
Yeah.
It's not the best. And a fair few of us have never seen a classroom past the 12th grade.
Right.
And you put this stuff out there and you know, you, if you've never learned to think critically, if you've never learned to fact check, you know, like you're just gonna be like, oh my God, this is what's happening, blah, 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 blah. And you see it on like TikTok a lot. Like somebody will put something that is completely not true, or it's, you know, exaggerated, or it's twisted in some way.
Yeah.
You know, like me, I automatically go to Google and start cruising through stuff and seeing, okay, this isn't right. And then I go back and like, yeah, this isn't true. But the thousands of comments that are there before are like, oh my God, share, 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 share. And it's like, that's how, you know, this stuff becomes dangerous. Because it's dangerous.
I think though this goes to more than just the New York Times.
Sure. Yeah. You know,
purposely doing this here. I think probably is like what it is. It's a lack of resources that the New York Times has to properly investigate their articles. And maybe there's some bias there too, but for the most part, basically the point I'm trying to get across here is that journalism as a whole has suffered a lot, you know?
It
like
has.
You look at various different things there, pretty much it's like, you know, all these major papers, like the Washington Post, for example, is owned by Jeff Bezos now.
Yeah.
You know, who owns Amazon. And it's just basically they're owned by these big multi-conglomerates and
six companies own all the
companies.
The main media.
And the same thing goes for television there too. It's kind of like you're basically trying to do more with less. And it comes down to a point there where it's kind of like, you know, they're just basically just trying to get information out the door and into print or on the air. And they're not paying attention to what they're putting out there sometimes, you know?
Right. It's all for clicks.
Exactly. Yeah.
Did you see, this was a number of years ago, I guess at this point, somebody took the time to put together, I don't know, it was like 30 different news clips, and every single one of them was saying the exact same thing. I'll have to send you that video if I find it, but it's creepy. It's
Jesse
scary.
Kimmel does that at the beginning of every month there. It's like, can you believe it's April? I can't believe it's April. You know, it's like just every, you know.
Well, this newscast is like, it's obvious that they're reading from a script that,
yeah,
you know, that was put out everywhere. That's like verbatim, like, a danger to our democracy and and like saying all this stuff. And,
oh, yeah,
and when
they
you
share
see
stuff
it,
all the time,
what's that?
They share stuff all the time, you know?
Well, it just goes to show how controlled it is.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like it's not.
Well, it's not as well to a certain point. Yes, you are right. It is controlled. But I also think it's like, key of doing more with less people is probably somebody's writing that story and then they're distributing it to the whole entire feed at the other stations and that same group pick up, and they're just picking up that story, not rewriting it all and just reciting it out there because nobody's going to notice, nobody's going to care. But all in all, it ends up being the situation where they're all spouting the same thing.
The same thing. And it's like they control what they want us to know about.
Cases in that is a good example would be Sinclair, because Sinclair Broadcasting.
Yeah, that's one of the big ones. Yeah,
exactly. And they'll actually run op-eds in their newscasts, and they're actually must runs. They have the run in their newscast.
Okay.
We run into a situation with that in Pittsburgh here, but it's kind of a little different situation because, as you know, WPGH, which is Channel 53, which is the Fox station, is owned by Sinclair. But their news is produced by Channel 11, which is owned by Cox Broadcasting Apollo. And so they basically have a different company producing their newscast for them. So they saw these must runs. They do run, but they run after the newscast. And there's a disclaimer before them saying that, you know, basically it's like these are not the views of, you know, Apollo or Cox Broadcasting.
Yeah, you have to now because, like, people are so happy.
Well, yeah, it's also too because, you know, they know they're pretty much pushing a conservative viewpoint, you know? So, yeah, it's just, I think it's kind of like, basically they're going to cause everything to implode because literally there's going to be eventually one person publishing this whole entire newspaper. And then that person's going to outsource it to somebody else.
Yeah. Like that's, I mean, when you think of countries like North Korea, where everything they know is wrong, like it's literally right. Everything they know because is propaganda. Because the higher ups
are just pushing it out to them and being like, this is what you're going to believe. And they're like, okay.
Yeah. And that's what's going on here too, in America, in the United States is, and also, you know, when you think further about that, you know, the government has been steady trying to ban TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because they can't control the narrative on there. They can't control what they want you to think and want you to believe in. Like, just for example, the genocide that is going on in Gaza, you know, at the hands of the Israelis, and the United States is sending them all kinds of money to participate in this genocide, you know. Before, all of us were supporting Israel because we're like, oh my God, the Palestinians are terrorists. Da, 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 because that's the narrative they were pushing. But with TikTok, you're seeing the reality of what is happening and they can't control it. And it's that sort of thing that, you know, leads back to what I was saying about how there's like 30 different news broadcasts and they're all saying the exact same thing word for yeah. word, and it's and you see how programmed it is.
Yeah, you know, it's obviously there's biases, you know, in media, you know.
Yeah,
obviously
yeah.
we have a bias here, you know. We're pro LGBT. I almost was gonna say anti-LGBT and I was like, no, that's not right. Yeah, that's our agenda, anti-LGBT. Could you imagine if that was our agenda?
Oops.
We'd probably be more popular, hey. Yeah. Right?
Oh, I guess.
But nonetheless.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... I'm sorry. I'm just still thinking about what I just said there. And just like, no, didn't want to say that. But still, yeah, it's just... yeah, I think biases will, you know, creep into programming, you know?
Yeah, it does. And there's so much that's just opinion nowadays, and they speak it as exactly. fact.
It's like, you know, all these talking head shows are basically all opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, so. And people take what they're saying as fact because, again, it goes back to that nobody, you know, fact checks or you know, looks into anything. And next thing you know, there's like, a million people. Because
you used to have
believe.
Five people be able to fact check it. Now you have one person.
Yeah.
You know, things are going to slip through the cracks and probably going to slip through a lot worse than they did before, you know?
Well, Fox News has gotten a little better they're still much of a fire starter as they always have been, you know, trying to drum up the rage of the right wing. But mm-hmm. they do clarify things now.
Well, and considering they got sued out of oblivion, you know.
And if their shit's showing a clip of like Donald Trump or something, and he says something that's a lie, which is pretty much everything he says, they will come back and be like, yeah, you'll see it, the ticker running across the bottom that says, you know, this is not, we don't believe this. This is untrue, blah, 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 blah.
I'm surprised it isn't lit on fire yet. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
But anyways, here, I guess, you know, talking about Fox News and everything, like with politics and everything, I guess women, LGBTQ women, are discouraged.
They are. Yeah. Nearly 30% of LGBTQ women candidates are discouraged from running for office because of gender identity, according to a report released. The LGBTQ plus Victory Institute and Loyola Marymount University's LGBTQ plus politics research initiative found that 27.2% of LGBTQ women candidates were discouraged from running because of their gender or gender identity. The percentage of LGBTQ women who were discouraged because of their gender or gender identity was four times higher than for gay and bisexual men, which was at 7.1%. In addition, the report found that the LGBTQ women face more attacks on their appearances than their gay and bisexual male counterparts at 40.8% versus 27.8%, respectively. In addition, LGBTQ women candidates faced more attacks on their appearance at least weekly at 10.9% versus gay and bisexual men at 4.9%. And in the 2022 midterms, a record 340 openly LGBTQ candidates ran and won in a rainbow wave, including Massachusetts Governor Maura Healey, who became the nation's first openly lesbian governor.
No, good Lord. I mean, it's just like, you know, it's like the same thing that occurs in straight media, it occurs in gay media, but sometimes worse.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, I'm guilty of it myself there. Actually, we go back into the day whenever I did Not Straight TV, me and a co-host, it was James Pope.
We
were doing a show called Straight Not Straight, which is basically the same thing as this show, but on video. And I was talking about some lesbian governor, and I was like, look at her. Look at her haircut. And I have thought nothing of it until my friend pointed out to me there. It's kind of like, yeah, you criticized the appearance of a lesbian woman, didn't you?
Yeah.
On this show. And she's, and I'm like, yes, I did. Oh my God. Holy shit.
Well, oh my misogyny God, is so ingrained in the culture of just being a human being in the world that. Yeah, that's always what happens. It's, you know, women are attacked for their looks. And, you know, if a woman is bold and strong, she's, you know, considered a bully. And if a man is, you know, direct and real strong, he's considered a leader. You know, it's very much
a double standard. You know,
there is, and it's in everything. You know, I walked into, I guess I'm not going to say what bar it was.
You walked into a bar.
I walked into a bar, a gay bar, downtown Pittsburgh. And one of the owners was sitting at the bar having a drink with some of his guy friends and started making fish jokes.
Oh, no.
About smelling fish.
Oh, no. Yeah. Basically referencing the fact that you walked in.
Yeah. Yep. Ugh. Yep. There are a lot of gay men that do not want women in their spaces.
And also, you know, too, what surprises me there too is that the gay, I'm not saying like the lesbian, bisexual, transgender part, but basically the gay part has a huge, you know, fixation on appearances, you know?
Yeah, that is true.
I mean, we're both good looking people, I would say, right?
we're attractive individuals.
Yes. I would not be afraid to be seen with you out in public. Let's put it that way. Ew, look at Becca. Hunched over. Like,
sloth love chunk.
Anyways. I'm sorry.
Went off on a little tangent here.
But, yeah, what was the point I was trying to get across there? Basically, what I was trying to say here is that, you know, the gay men, you know, have a huge fixation on appearance,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's kind of like if you're not up to those standards, you know, it can be a bad thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you know? People are like, nasty, man.
Yeah.
Like, people can be really, really nasty.
But I think it's worse in the gay community than anywhere else, you know? And I hate to say that, but it's true, unfortunately.
In the straight community, what usually happens from my vantage point, you know, there's this huge like thing going on now called the 4B movement, but I'm not going to get all into that. But men's response to the 4B movement, which is basically women are just saying, yeah, I'm not getting involved anymore with men. They refuse to evolve. You know, they come into relationships wanting a mommy and you know, mm-hmm. the guys turn around and they get mad when
they got their poor feelings hurt, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they, you know, a woman could be, you know, shopping for tampons and, you know, some dude is going to come up eventually and start hitting on her, you know, and when they don't show interest and they're not grateful
then
they get mad and start attacking your appearance.
Uh-huh.
Like that's the first thing. Like, you're a bitch, you're ugly anyways, da 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 da.
I would never deal with it's just like, well, why the hell did you even hit on me in the first place? You know,
it turns on a dime. Yeah. So like it comes from everywhere, no matter what, you know, women are picked up, like Britney Spears song, You Want a Piece of Me. Mm-hmm. She talks about you're too fat, you're too thin, you know, it doesn't matter what you do, you're going to be criticized. And that's kind of like the lay of the land for women in this country.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah, I mean, this is just, you know, it's just people, you know.
Things, they are a-changing, though.
I know. But anyways, we're going to go ahead here. We're going to take a break. And when we return, I have a crazy cult story for you. This is probably the craziest story you will ever hear.
I can't wait.
And then also, too, we're going to deal with women's sports in bars as Not Straight Cast continues after this.
Body Jewelry has been in the business of supplying high-quality body jewelry items for more than a decade.
They supplied navel rings, nose studs, barbells, nipple rings, any item of body jewelry you need.
Their items are crafted from top materials like gold, titanium, steel, and silver, all by leading body jewelry designers.
They also provide fast shipping within 24 hours of your order.
Listeners of the Not Straight Cast can visit nsc.lgbt/body to check out their gallery of products.
That's nsc.lgbt/body.
Not Straight Radio, 24/7 LGBTQ talk radio, where conversations spark connections and diversity takes center stage. Tune in for insightful dialogues on love, life, the news, and everything in between. Not Straight Radio is a safe space for all perspectives, fostering understanding and unity. Whether you're questioning, embracing, or advocating, Not Straight Radio is your destination for thought-provoking content that resonates with every shade of the rainbow. Stay connected, stay informed. Not Straight Radio, 24/7 LGBTQ talk radio, because everyone's story deserves to be heard. Visit nsc.lgbt/radio to listen now. Did you know that Not Straight Radio is now available on your smart speaker? Just tell Alexa, play Not Straight Radio.
Really? You want to listen to that crap?
Not Straight Radio, now available on your smart speaker. Welcome back to Not Straight Cast. So, in this case here, the next story, this is crazy. It's a common story told by the right. A woman is looking for answers and happiness is convinced by a cult to transition into a man, only to become sad and lonely. The only detail they were missing is that the cult is run by cis straight people, and that the people were being convinced to transition against their wishes in order to uphold heteronormality.
What two new documentaries.
Yeah, this, it's weird. Two new documentaries, Desperately Seeking Soulmate, Escaping Twin Flames Universe on Prime Video, and Escaping Twin Flames on Netflix, dive deep into the Twin Flames universe, a cult led by Jeff and Sheila Devine. The cult was founded and is based on the belief that each person has a twin flame who's like a soulmate for them, and that only Jeff and Sheila can tell a person who their twin flame is. What started out as a relationship coaching soon turned into something more sinister, though the cult going as far as to encourage several female members who had shown no sign and made no mention of being trans to transition into men. In each documentary, were introduced to several women who were told they were divine masculine energies and should transition to men. According to Jeff and Sheila, each twin flame couple is made up of one divine female partner and one divine masculine partner, and even same-sex couples operate that way. In the documentaries, former cult members say that after years of members not getting in relationships with the people who were supposed to be their twin flames, Jeff and Sheila had a revelation and found out that within the group there were several couples who were real twin flames. Desperately Seeking Soulmate proposes the hypothesis that because the group was overwhelmingly female, the leaders needed to force some members to transition in order to match them up with other straight women in the group. The Twin Flames universe had guaranteed that every member of the group would meet their twin flame if they paid for classes. And the only way they can do that was by forcing some women in the group to become men and pairing them up with cis hetero women. These relationships go further than just marriages arranged by a cult, forcing people to transition against their wishes and forcing cis hetero women into queer relationships. While the right is concerned that trans people and leftists are busy transing our kids and convincing cis people to be trans because it's a trend, the only people who are actually doing it are doing it to make relationships into straight ones. Conservatives love to call the trans community a cult, but once again, it is straightness and heteronormality that is a cult being used to force people to be gender that they do not want to be and are not. These people who are encouraged to transition do not seem happy. They honestly look more like pre-transition trans women than the post-transition trans men. Both documentaries show clips of the people making videos for the cult where they talk about their transition and the struggles they've had to accept their new male genders. People making videos for the cult where they talk about their transition and the struggles they've had to accept in their new male genders. Thankfully, it seems like most of the women who were told to transition got out of the cult, and for many of them, it's because they were told to transition and they knew that they were not men. The only thing that the cult ends up proving is that gender is real and that you cannot force someone to be a gender they are not and still have to be a happy and successful person. That is absolutely crazy.
I don't even
crazy.
Know what to say about that. Like, the hypocrisy, first off.
Basically, we don't have enough males. We need the women to transition and become male.
So you can what be straight. So you can be yeah. a straight couple. Like,
yeah.
I cannot.
Doesn't that blow your mind?
It does, because the hypocrisy just keeps on coming for these people, man.
Like, and the fact that, you know, somebody would in like, you know, I guess this is why it's called a cult there, but why would they even agree to do that and actually possibly go through with it? You know,
I don't understand how people get hooked into these things. Like, I know a few people personally that left a cult, and I don't, they are intelligent, you know, educated people. And right. It's like, how did you get wrapped up in this? I don't understand how, like,
basically how this happens. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, how can't you see that that's what it is, you know? Mm-hmm. So I know we've talked a little bit about, you know, cult stuff before on here, but
the lack of critical thinking skills, maybe, I don't know, you know,
or just, you know, a overwhelming desire to belong to a group. Like, I don't know, like community,
depression,
like something like, cause they yeah. obviously, you know, reach out to vulnerable people. And I just,
we're basically sitting here spinning our brains and our wheels just trying to figure out here is the what, you know,
right? Like, I would love to know, like, what it is that is so attractive to you know, about these things to these vulnerable people.
Yeah, I'm just this is just one of those things there where, I mean, definitely the documentaries sound interesting there, but the fact that this even happened in the first place is just completely
mind-blowing.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's, oh God.
Yeah. So anyways, we'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Cause like we say in every episode, this could be its own episode.
It could. So fans are flocking to bars that only show women's sports on their TVs. With March Madness in full gear, establishment like a bar of their own in Minneapolis and the Sports Bra in Oregon are redefining the sports bar. I love that. A bar of their own.
Like, the sports, it's like, bra.
A league of their own. I think, right? it's a spinoff of that. So long lines were happening outside a bar of their own where the 12 televisions were screening March Madness, and only women's March Madness. And when the NCAA women's basketball tournament isn't monopolizing the airwaves, the bar's TVs will blast women's NCAA softball, women's professional hockey, and women's Olympic qualifiers, among many other sports. Capturing a boom in women's sports exemplified by the University of Iowa's Caitlin Clark, bars showing only women's sports are having a marquee moment, one that's building into a trend. I just knew that, like me, there were lots of women's sports fans in Minneapolis and the surrounding area that have tried for years to find women's sports on TV and not get them, said Jillian Hiscock, who in March opened a bar of their own, a riff on the title of the 1992 movie A League of Their Own, about the first female professional baseball league. Hiscock, a former college student recruiter, said her aha moment came in 2022 when the University of Minnesota softball team was in the national tournament and ESPN was airing it, but she couldn't find a bar showing the game. It's the first bar in the Midwest dedicated exclusively to women's sports, welcoming budding fans, girl dads, and even professional athletes. Claire DeGeorge, a player in the Professional Women's Hockey League for Minnesota, Katherine Johnson, an Olympian in rugby, Rebecca Brunson, a five-time WNBA champion, and Diamond Miller, a forward on the WNBA's Minnesota Lynx, have all stopped by to sign the bar's Athlete Wall of Fame. DeGeorge called the women's sports bar movement a testament to the hard work of women, and Miller said they're pushing the boundaries to grow and develop women's sports. Team jerseys, scarves, and game balls line the bar's walls, along with other paraphernalia marking standout moments in the history of women's sports. Wheaties even donated some of its classic cereal boxes featuring female champions. Brunson praised a bar of their own for continuing to shed light on the enthusiasm that people have when it comes to women's sports.
I saw a joke by a comedian one time there, and it's like, you know how you can identify these bars? They're empty. Yeah.
Oh,
but this is completely, you know, like, obviously this is not the problem that they're having here, you know?
No,
and they're not having a problem at all there. It just seems like, you know, it's bringing in business.
Yeah. And you know what? There's other stuff about how, you know, of course men are complaining, you know, like there are all these sports bars that they have to choose from that play all male sports, but they're mad about the one that's the two that are playing women's sports.
But this is good, you know?
I mean, it is, and this is what we talk about when, you know, you speak of equity. I don't think people really understand, you know, what that means. It's not just equality. It's everybody gets a seat at the table.
Yeah. And, you know? And this is nothing against the other bars that show men's sports, but it's not at all. Yeah. You know, the more the merrier, and you have a choice, you know?
Yeah. That's all it is too. It's choices.
And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, this goes back to the whole entire thing. It's like some people are cis, some people are trans. It doesn't mean that because you're cis that you need everybody to be cis and trans people are bad. Complete opposite, you know?
Right.
There needs to be all this diversity, you know, out there, because that's what makes the world go around. Let's be honest.
It is. You know? It is. And, you know, straight white men in particular don't want everybody else to have a seat at the table. They are perfectly happy being at the top of the food chain, so to speak. And they see the equity and inclusion as oppressive to them.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just not right, you know? Boy.
You know, moving on.
Moving on here. Yeah. Anyways, thankfully, we have one last story, and that's a moment of conclusion, but we're going to take a break here first, and we'll be right back with said moment of conclusion on the Straightcast after these messages.
Couplet is passionate about specialty coffee. Queer woman owned and built for everyone, Couplet was created to make great coffee more fun and approachable. We skip the pretentious tasting notes and gatekeeping and go right to the good part. Ridiculously delicious coffee. You can prepare however the f*** you like. Shop online at nsc.lgbt/coffee. That's nsc.lgbt/COFFEE.
Want to support Not Straight Cast? Visit the notstraightcast.com/store, where you can get a Not Straight Cast t-shirt, hat, bag, coffee mug, and much, much more. Along with getting some snazzy merchandise, your purchase in the notstraightcast.com/store also helps support the show. Once again, that's notstraightcast.com/store.
And now, time for the moment of conclusion. A recent study has confirmed the findings of earlier research, which indicates that people who regularly take erectile dysfunction medication, particularly Viagra, have a lower risk of developing Alzheimer's. Hey!
Oh. You won't forget that you have a boner.
I got it. Sorry. Oh, man. Why the drugs appear to lessen the occurrence of Alzheimer's is unknown. However, one theory is that the medication increases blood flow to all parts of the body, including the brain. So the results of the latest research appeared in Neurology. Scientists looked at the health records of 269,725 men in the UK aged over 40, and the average age was 59. They all had a diagnosis of erectile dysfunction between the years of 2007 and 2017. Doctors prescribed medication, many of them. This typically included Viagra or Cialis. Others received advice on lifestyle changes. 5 years later, the men were checked to see if they developed any symptoms of Alzheimer's. Of the original number, 1,119 were newly diagnosed with AD. There was a marked difference between those who had regularly been taking ED medication, more than 20 or 50 prescriptions throughout the study, and those who did not take the medication. Men who regularly take Viagra were almost 20% less likely to show any symptoms of Alzheimer's. This is more pronounced in men who took it more often. The effect was less apparent for those taking Levitra or Staxin. These are exciting results for those working in the field. There's been a recent focus on treatments to clear the amyloid plaques on brain cells that cause Alzheimer's. However, this is not a cure, but another way to slow down the development of the disease. Anything that halts the disease appearing in the first place is cause for celebration. Although we're making progress with the new treatments for Alzheimer's disease that work to clear amyloid plaques in the brain for people with early stages of the disease, we desperately need treatments that can prevent or delay the development of Alzheimer's disease, said lead author Ruth Bauer, lecturer at University College London. More research is needed to confirm these findings, learn more about the potential benefits and mechanisms of these drugs, and look into the optimal dosage. A randomized controlled trial with both male and female applicants is warranted to determine whether these findings would apply to women as well, they said. Dr. Leah Mersallan, head of the research at Alzheimer's Research UK, welcomed the findings. Developing the drugs for diseases like Alzheimer's is a costly process and can take many years. Being able to repurpose drugs already licensed for other health conditions could help accelerate progress and open up new avenues to prevent or treat dementia-causing diseases.
Huh.
That is kind of awesome news in a sense, sir.
Yeah, yeah.
But funny as hell what you said. You won't forget that you had an erection. No, you won't.
I have my moments.
Yes. And I love you for those moments there, I tell you what. But I think that's going to wrap it up for this episode of Not Straight Cast.
Yeah. So,
subscribe to us for all great podcasters. So visit Not Straight Road, which will allow you to access all of our websites, Not Straight Cast, Not Straight Dot News, and Not Straight Radio at NotStraightRoad.com.
We want to hear from you. Email us at feedback@NotStraightCast.com or record a voice message at nsc.lgbt/VM. And until next time, have a not straight one. Bye for now.
Bye.